begin to seek God to see what is the word for the church in the following year, the 2024. What's the word that you've given me for this coming year? Something that we as a body can cling to, something we can dwell on and think about throughout the year. And it's not so much along the lines of New Year's resolution as it is, I like to think of it more as like a New Year's revolution, something that God is going to stir up in us that we're going to have a great coming year, putting Christ at the center of our lives and thinking about kind of what Christy was praying, what God's going to do, having an anticipation and an expectation that God's going to do great things in our lives. And so this year for 2024, the word is fresh bread. This is what I want you guys to consider and think about throughout this year is fresh bread. Now, I know for some of you, you're like, great, just in time for my New Year's resolution where I was going to give up carbs, and I was going to start going to the gym, and now you want us to think about fresh bread all year long. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I've ruined your three trips you're going to make to the gym in January. And I'm sorry if I messed up your diet that you'll do for a while and then life gets busy and it's hard to hang on to those. Take it up with God. I'm just giving you the word fresh bread for 2024. And you know what? You can eat as much fresh bread as you want all the way up till midnight tonight, even if you're making that resolution. But I really, I don't want to knock anybody. If you really are going to make those kinds of resolutions to better yourself, and even if you fall short, kudos to you for trying, and I pray that this is the year that you're able to have the willpower to do it and accomplish whatever your goals are. But this tradition that we all have, right, of resolving to do better, and then, again, typically at some point we fail only for the cycle to repeat itself the next calendar year. I don't know why we do it like this, but often we fail by like February and we still are in agreement that we're going to wait until December 31st to try again. You ever notice that? You know what? We all messed up. Let's give it 11 months to cool down just a little bit. I don't want to overwhelm myself with too much responsibility. I'll wait 11 months. We'll try this one more time. But it really does parallel what happens in our spiritual lives many times as well, right? How many times have we resolved to reading the scriptures more, right? I'm going to read it every day. I'm going to complete a Bible reading plan for the first time in my life. I'm going to do it every day. I'm not going to be that guy who's got to read 12 chapters tomorrow to get caught up, right? How many times have we done this and it only takes a little bit of time before we find ourselves falling behind and we fail to do it. You oversleep a little bit. You get busy here and there. Your calendar's full. And eventually we give up and we try again next year. What is the reason for all this? The reason is the same with trying again with diet and exercise. There is a desire within us to be in better shape physically. And there's a desire within us to be in better shape spiritually. Right? And what we realize is that my regular routine is not going to get me there, so I've got to try something else. I've got to make changes in my life if I want to get to where I'm planning to go. This year, the church is going to pursue fresh bread, not for your belly, but for your soul. But if we're going to do this, it's going to require something of you to make this happen. See, in church, a lot of times we wait on God. And I believe waiting on God has its place, and I believe that it's a good thing. But there's a lot of times we find ourselves waiting on God when I believe He's already waiting on us. There's times where we find ourselves at like a four-way stop with God. You ever got to the four-way stop and there's somebody who's already there, and they're like, come on, go ahead. I want to be like, no, you were there first. Like it's a system that the whole world knows about. If you were there first, you go first, right? And they're like, I insist. And you're like, no, I insist. You go, I like, ask my family. I have these conversations with people where I'm like, no, really, you go. And then you both try to go at the same time. And that makes you furious. It does me. I'm like, I told you you should have went first. All right? But there's times where we're like that with God. Where we're like, no, Lord, I insist you go first. And he's like, dude, I was already here waiting on you. It's your move. It's your turn. You go, and then I'll go. When we find ourselves in this place where we're waiting on God and he's waiting on us, we find ourselves at kind of a stalemate, and eventually something's got to give. Now, we're just stubborn enough to wait God out, aren't we? In 11 months, I'll try this again, God. Right? We're just that stubborn. You waited a stop sign for 11 months if God's in the other car. I insist. But when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What's the thing that we need to grab a hold of more than any other thing? He told us in Matthew chapter 22, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's the greatest thing that we're told to do. Love God. It's the greatest thing. That means it's above all else. Love God. It means it's in everything that we do. Love God. But it also means with everything. He specifically tells us, with everything you got, right? With all your heart, love God. With all your soul, love God. And with all your mind, love God. There's times in our spiritual life where we try to disengage our mind. Some of you try to be hyper-spiritual, like I'm going to turn my brain off and I'm just going to just take the spiritual download, right? Just Holy Spirit, just descend upon me, light up the room, speak to me, let me hear the audible voice, but then give me a confirmation that it's not me, that I'm not crazy, right? I want to just download something from God, and we turn off our mind. God, you go first. I'm going to take a break over here. Pastor Wayne Cordero said, this verse tells us, this means, to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. It means that he doesn't want you to disengage your brain as you listen for his voice. God doesn't want us to turn off our brain and listen for his voice. But see, it's our mind, the things that we think that are, they tend to be our biggest obstacle to thriving in our spiritual life. It's not that we're not supposed to think. We're supposed to think, but we need to engage our brain and think about Jesus. It's not that we should turn off our brain and just be spiritual. It's that we need to submit our thoughts as we're thinking to his word and let the Spirit guide us in our ways. And it's this realization that it takes the combination of my brain and the Spirit working in me for me to thrive the way God has designed. This realization brings us back to how do we get fresh bread? Well, what is fresh bread? If something's fresh, it's newly made, right? It's just come. It's recently arrived. It is fresh. If something is bread, we know actual bread is food, but bread both physically and spiritually is sustenance. It is livelihood. It's something that fuels us to be able to live. Now, me, I love fresh bread at restaurants. Now, I'm not talking about a piece of bread that they warmed up. I mean, like, fresh bread. We go to Luigi's in Mattoon, the best Italian food I've ever had, and I love their fresh bread. Sometimes we eat so much fresh bread that we don't need to eat our entree. Like, we're too full already to eat that, but praise the Lord, then you got free supper at home. So this bread, when it comes out, like, some of you don't know what fresh bread is. Some of you guys don't get out much. But I'm not talking about fresh bread like a new bag of bunny bread and you get the first couple pieces out like, this is some good fresh bread. That ain't fresh bread. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about nice and warm, just out of the oven, like you can smell it coming. You just smell it, you're like, I wasn't even that hungry when I got here, but just smelling that bread, I am ready to devour it. Newly bread, just coming, sitting on your table. It's going to sustain you. It's going to give you fuel. I mean, I'm talking about this kind of bread. It makes me feel a certain way whenever I encounter this kind of bread. I'm excited about eating it. Now, if I was to go there and they were to serve me bread that was left from the last time I was there, I wouldn't feel the same way about it. Would you? Anybody ever went to Jimmy John's and you got a sub and you know this was yesterday's bread? Because you go to eat the end of it, you're like, dude, there ain't no way that was cooked today. Like, somebody went and fished that out of the dumpster and made my sandwich with it. That's hard bread. It's not the same. It doesn't make you feel the same. Now, there's something about that bread. Leftover bread, old bread, can it still feed you? Yeah. Can it still sustain you? Well, of course it could. Can it still give you fuel? Well, yes. But there's something that is missing about it. It's that part of it that connects to your soul. It's that part of it that causes enjoyment and happiness and that freshness and that fragrance that connects with you where you're like, man, that is so good. I don't even need anything else. Right? There's a difference when the bread is fresh. And church, I want to have that kind of desire when it comes to reading the Word of God. I want to have that kind of experience that's similar to that when it's like, man, I sit down to read the Word of God and it is so pleasing to me that I want to fill up on it and I don't need anything else. I believe this is the kind of bread that Jesus is talking about in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:11 when he says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. This speaks to the fact that we need it when? Every day. We need it each individual day. Give us this day, right? Today. I'm worried about what's going on right here, right now. In the New Living Translation, I love the way it phrases it. It says, give us today the food we need. See, it's not just give us bread because I need something to eat while I'm waiting on the entree. Spiritually speaking, when we're thinking about this bread, it's that it's necessary for our growth. Each day, we need to hear the Word of God. Each day, we need to hear the voice of God to know, God, what is it that you have for me today so that I can grow and I can have the energy and the fuel to do whatever it is that you're going to set before me today. God, what is the fresh bread for me today? And so this year, as we get into Bible reading plans, I want to encourage you to do the Bible reading plan, but I want to encourage you to not disengage your brain. Don't turn your brain off. Don't make it a to-do list. Don't make it a check mark thing. In fact, I think that has the little boxes. I'd encourage you to not even check them. I mean, it has the date. Just find the date and read that one. But I'm encouraging you to not even check them off. And I don't want you to do this for me. I don't want you to do this for your family, for your spouse or anything like that. But just out of what Jesus told us was the great commandment. Just out of our love for God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind, just love Him. Just love God and seek fresh bread. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What was happening to Jesus as he speaks this? He was tempted by the enemy in the wilderness. Now, for you and me, as we read these words, right? He says that man does not live by bread alone. He does not say man doesn't need bread. He didn't say that. Because in his physical body, he realizes that yes, we do still need sustenance in our body. We do still need bread to be able to function and have energy and to live here on this earth. But what he says was we don't live by bread alone. What he says is that, yes, you need bread, but there's also something else that we need even more, that we need to hear the voice of God. We need to hear the word of God. Now, for some of us, I think that when we read the Bible, you read through, and since we read it in bigger chunks and we kind of mow through it, you see Jesus gets baptized and then he gets led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And we see the enemy tempt him in three different ways. And then it says he was hungry, right? And then he left from there. What we often forget is that this happened over the course of 40 days that Jesus was fasting. And we don't know at what point these questions are asked, because we just read it the way we see it, right? The limited information we have. I can promise you that as soon as Jesus stepped into the wilderness, the devil wasn't like, can you turn that stone into bread? No, it was a temptation. There had to be a deficit. There had to be something that caused Jesus in his human body to really need that bread, really want that bread. He was hungry at the point when the enemy was like, can you turn that stone into bread? And he says, no, you're missing something. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That even in my weakness, in how hungry I am, how much I would love to have some bread right now, that's not actually what I need. I need the voice of God. When we consider the fact that Jesus says, above all things, what I really need is I need to hear the voice of the Father from heaven. How much more important is that for you and for me? Now, at some points in our lives, we've probably all tried some kind of Bible reading plan. We've probably all tried to read the Word on a regular basis, and it gets stale. Right? Has anybody ever read the Word of God and you're like, I'm sorry, I got nothing. Right? I'm in that boat. I've been in that boat in the last couple weeks where there's been days where I sat down and I'm just like, I don't know. I got nothing. I'll read it again. There's times where that happens in our lives, and I want to tell you that that's okay. But I'm going to tell you that we need to pursue fresh bread because it pleases our soul. That it's something that we desire, we're in need of, and in 2024, I don't want to just be reading the Word just to read the Word. We're not just eating bread just to say, yes, I met the pyramid food chart, I got something from every food group. It's not about that, but I want to be able to say, you know what, I'm looking for fresh bread. I'm looking for something that satisfies the longing of my soul. What is it, God, that you have for me this day? And as we read through the Bible in the year, listen, it's a great thing to do. It's life-changing. I know there's testimonies from people in this room that have shared about how much it changed their life when they began to read the Bible on a daily basis or read through it in a year. But I want to have more of a focus on, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Just today. Just one day at a time. You know, when life is hard, when it's difficult, they tell you what? Just do one day at a time, right? Just manage today. Just function today. Just get through today. And I want to look at reading the Bible more like that this year, that, Lord, what is the bread you have for me today? What is it today that you want to speak to me? Because what I believe, church, is that there's so many times that we turn Bible reading into a chore. It's not supposed to be a chore, right? It's not beneficial to us when it's just a chore. I want to engage our mind and the spirit as we read the Word of God, because I want to hear the voice of God. And I want you to hear the voice of God. I want to engage with the Word. I want you to engage in the Word. I believe there ought to be some level of excitement and expectation when we read the Word of God. Amen? I'm not saying there always is. I'm just saying that there should be. Right? There should be some excitement when we read the Word of God. Proverbs 8:34 says, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." See, there's something about that man that there is routine for this man. There is something about this man that he puts himself in a position to be able to hear, right? If we're not putting ourselves in position to be able to hear the voice of God, then we shouldn't be all that surprised when we're not hearing His voice. There is something to the obedience of forming habits and of sitting down and having a standard time. But church, what we need to experience is excitement in anticipation that I'm not just sitting down to read the Word of God, but I'm getting ready to hear the voice of God. I'm getting ready to know His heart. And this, church, is the highest form of prayer. We often think that prayer is speaking to God. But really, the highest form of prayer is not you speaking to God, but it's Him speaking to you. And how does this most naturally happen in our lives? Through the Word of God, right? The Word of God is God speaking. And this is where we get fresh bread. So, to do this year, right, this is a little more of a different style of the sermon, but you'll be okay. To do this year, you're going to need five things, okay? And all this is going to tell you right here. For this year, for your Bible reading, what we're encouraging every person in this place to do, five things. You need a Bible, first of all. Now, I want you to hear my heart as I plead with you. Please use a paper Bible. Now, some of you are like, I don't need a paper Bible. I got it all on my phone. I know, but you also got text messages on your phone, and you got Instagram on your phone, and you got Facebook on your phone. You got all that other junk. I'm telling you, if you're going to try to get fresh bread and hear from the voice of God, you need to close out the other surroundings. You need to shut out the other noises. Use a paper Bible. Please. You don't have to. I'm just asking you if you would. All right? Use your journal right here that we just gave you, a pen, a reading plan, which if you have this journal, includes the reading plan, and then a notebook or note cards, and I'll talk about that in a second. But when you sit down to read the Word of God, you're going to take your reading plan. You're going to read whatever scriptures it says for today. What I don't want you to have the burden and the weight of doing is trying to read the last 4 days that you missed. It's not about checking a box. It's about hearing from the voice of God. What does it say I'm supposed to read today? And as you do that, feel free, right? You have permission to use your pen in your Bible. Now, some of you are like, I can write in my Bible? Listen, that book is not holy. It's just a book. It's the contents of the book that is holy, the Word of God. Now, don't use it to, like, balance a table, you know, that has a crooked leg or something. I'm just saying, some people treat their Bible like this particular book is, like, something that, you know, needs to be preserved in a library somewhere. We can write in the Bible. I encourage you to take notes and write in your Bible. Okay? As you write in it, what you're doing is taking notes, things that are going to stand out to you. If you want to throw that out, that's fine. As you read the Word of God, what you're looking for is, what is the verse that stands out to me? What is God speaking to me? And if you don't know what that looks like, church, it might just be a verse where you're like, huh, that is interesting. I've never thought about that before. Or that's weird. I wonder what that means. It's something about the verse that jumps off the page to you. Whatever that verse is out of your reading, you're going to write it down. Okay, this is where this journal comes in handy, where the SOAP method is going to be applied. SOAP, S-O-A-P. It's Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. So you're going to write S, write the Scripture, write it out. Below that, you're going to do O, Observation. What do I see? What is in this verse that stands out to me? We're engaging our brain, right? Something that if you're just reading through the verses and you're just checking a box, you're usually not engaging your brain. Here we're engaging our brain. What do I see in this? What do I observe? A, application. You're going to write down, how does this apply to me? How does this affect my life? How does what I observed, how can I implement that in my life? And then P is prayer. You're going to write out a short prayer. Thank God. Ask for his help in applying that to your life, whatever you need there. And then when you're going through this process, the whole point of the additional notebook or the note cards or whatever it is, scrap paper, is for all the intrusive thoughts. If anybody's ever sat down with a Bible and you even, I'm going to leave my phone in the other room or whatever, guess what else besides, hey, I'm awake, is your brain. Man, I got to remember to get milk today. I need to text Bud back. He texted me last night when I was in bed, and I got to remember to text him back this morning. Or I wonder what the score of that game was that I fell asleep watching in my recliner. All these things start to come to mind. You're going to write those down on this other piece of paper. The whole point is not that you're not going to do those, but that I'm going to do them later. Brain, that's taken care of for later. Push it to the side. I'm focusing on God. I'm going to look at the word for a fresh bread today, and I'm going to take care of this stuff when my time is done. Now, trust me, if you're willing to go through this process on a regular basis, you'll find that you will have daily bread, but it's not just daily bread. It's going to be fresh bread. Things that jump out to you where you're like, man, I have been chewing on that all day long. I told Jason the other day, I was like, there's times where I read my Bible and 10 minutes later, I have no idea what I read. I might be able to tell you what the chapters were, but you ask me, well, what did you get out of that? And I'd be like, a check mark. Right? And I didn't really get anything out of it. Not anything that I noticed. I realized that the Word of God's always good for you. And I tell people, when you're reading it and you feel like you're getting nothing, you should still keep reading it. Okay? But I'm saying this method takes us to a place where we have to engage with it and say, God, what are you speaking to me? The whole point is to switch gears from being people who just do the task of reading the Bible and transitioning to a place of being a church who hears from God. Church, I believe that's the most important thing in your life right now. The most important thing in your life, the most important thing in my life is that we hear from God. And if you're looking for that to just be a voice from heaven, just some prophetic stuff that may or may not line up with your life, listen, I'm going to tell you, you're probably going to be waiting a long time. There's not that much of that. I believe it does still happen. I believe in the audible voice of the Lord, angelic visitations, all the things we read in the Word, they happened then, they can still happen today, 100%. But I'm going to tell you that the way you hear from God the most often is going to be by reading His Word. That's the way you're going to hear from Him the most often, and it's the thing that we need the most. So while we're switching gears, I want to free some of you guys from some stumbling blocks that the enemy likes to throw out at us. Again, you should read it every day. Try to read it every day. Have a goal of reading the Word every single day. But if we're being realistic, most of us won't. Most of us won't. Most of us will have days that do get busy, that do interfere, that something happens. And what I want to say to that is, so what? So what if you didn't get it read yesterday? So what if it's been a week since you read the Word of God? Give us this day our daily bread. God, what do you have for me today? Let me start with today and not the condemnation of yesterday, and say, God, what is it that you have for me? Because I'll tell you what the devil has for you today. He has the condemnation about what you screwed up with yesterday. But that's not the way that God operates. Conviction says, well, yeah, you probably should have read yesterday, but how about you read now? Right? It's just a quick correction, but here's the answer. Condemnation is you didn't read yesterday, and he don't want to hear from you today. Right? That's not God. That's the enemy, and we've got to come to this place where we say, so what? It doesn't matter what I did yesterday or what I did the last few days. Today, right now, right here, I'm going to get fresh bread. God, what do you have for me this day? Because, church, His mercies are new every morning, right? His mercies are new every morning. That means that, yes, I did mess up, but God says, I still want you. I still desire you. I still want to hear from you. God forgives you for not reading the word yesterday. Okay? I promise you that. He forgives you for that. You know what the thing is? When we read something yesterday, some of that stuff can apply day after day, and it can be something that's big that applies to us throughout our life, but at the end of the day, we shouldn't spend all day today meditating on the thing we read yesterday, because leftovers aren't always that good the next day. What do you have for me today? What's the fresh bread today, God? Even if you did read it yesterday, you still need to today to combat the lies and the condemnation of the enemy. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said, don't give any place to the devil. Right? Don't even give him an opportunity to grab a hold of you and latch on to you. See, fresh bread for today silences the voice of the enemy, because your mind becomes engaged with the Spirit and becomes focused on Jesus. Right? Who hears the voice of the enemy when they're reading the word and they're pressing into God? Nobody. Right? You tune him out. You silence him with fresh bread. Jesus said in John 6:35, he said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is the bread of life. He's the sustenance we need. He's the thing that satisfies the longing of our soul. Listen, it's not drugs, alcohol, sex, shopping, all the things that are addictive in nature. Listen, all those things are temporary satisfaction that do not lead to life. They're all temporary satisfaction that don't lead to life. There's one thing that is, and his name is Jesus. He's the one thing that satisfies our soul and that leads to life, that leads to life forevermore. And so listen, if you're someone who never reads the Bible, it's time to start. No condemnation. Forget the past. It's time to start reading it. Reading it for yourself. If you're somebody who comes to church once a week and you're like, that's what I needed, that fuels me up, that got me going, think about it a little bit more logically. Think about it if it was food and we had the holiday meal. You know, say we were going to have a meal after church every week. Would that be enough for you? You come and eat this big meal together and I'm just going to hang on to that until next Sunday? I mean, you guys would be dragging yourself out of bed in about 2 days, starving to death, about ready to just eat the carpet if you could, right? How many of you would be able to just make it till next week? I'm just going to eat on Sundays. It's more than enough for me. A meal prepared for me. I don't have to do anything. I just show up and eat it. No. That doesn't work for us physically, and it's silly for us to expect that that would work for us spiritually. It's silly to think that. That, man, if I hear this one, you know, decent message, that, man, I'm good for a week. It doesn't even matter if it's the best message you ever heard in your life. You still need it tomorrow. We need fresh bread daily. We can't thrive if we're not being fed all week long. The number one worst thing that a pastor ever hears, sorry, I'm leaving because I'm just not being fed enough. I've heard it. You won't find a pastor that's never heard it. And I've never said this, but I might. If one of you guys comes to me, I'm just going to say it now. Feed yourself. I mean, let's be real. Again, right now, what I'm doing, what my desire here is what the Word of God says that pastors, evangelists, prophets, apostles, teachers, what they're for. Why did Jesus give them as a gift to the church to equip the saints for the working of the ministry, not to feed them every single day? Yes, at the beginning, sure. At the beginning, you're on milk, and Paul tells us that at some point, you've got to graduate to being able to eat the meat of the word. At that point, you're doing it yourself. It would be really weird if me and Christy went out to a nice steak restaurant and she's cutting up my steak for me and putting it in my mouth, wouldn't it? Be really strange. At some point, we've got to say, you know what? I'm going to dig in for myself. Again, no condemnation with that. It's just, let's start today by saying, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. What is it that you have for me today? And the other thing I want to give you guys freedom in, if this has been a stumbling block for you before, it does not matter if you do it in the morning, if you do it at lunch, if you do it at night. It just matters that you do it. Right? And I know you've probably heard a sermon on the psalm about getting up early in the morning and seeking the Lord, and that's what the really righteous people do. Right? I've heard that too. I'm not a morning person. I do get up and read mine in the morning, but my schedule's probably a little more flexible than most of you guys. It's not about when you do it. It's just about the fact that you do it. Forget it. Forget about it. If you're not a morning person, forget about it if you have to read yours in the evening. It's just about the fact that you're digging in to get what does God have for you. Do what works best for you. But let me caution you with this. You probably won't have time. You're going to have to make time. Whether you're a morning person or not, whether your schedule's flexible or not, it doesn't matter. We're all busy. We're all busy. You probably won't have time. You're going to have to make time no matter what kind of a person you are. But I can promise you that if you do, that it'll be worth it. And I believe, church, I believe with all my heart that God gave me this word for the church for this year. Because this right here, this is the launching point if we want to see the church thriving in St. Elmo. If we want to see the church propelled to new heights where we're reaching the lost and we're doing amazing things for the kingdom of God, it starts with us hearing the voice of God. It starts with that. Each and every one of us hearing the voice of God. Now listen, as we wrap up, I want to tell you that when we consider what Jesus has done for us, when we think about the fact that he left a throne in heaven to come to the earth and die for our sins, he didn't do that just so we could be saved and that's it. He rose from the grave so that we could have new life in him. And praise God, it just keeps getting better. Hallelujah for new life with him. He also ascended to heaven to prepare a place for you and I, a place that we would be with him forever. And in doing that, he said, I must go, and it's for your benefit. It's for your good that I go away, because if I go away, my Father will send the Helper. And the Holy Spirit has come and dwells in each and every person who is born again. Hallelujah. How amazing is that? Now, why is that so important and what does that have to do with fresh bread? Well, there's one aspect of us getting fresh bread from the Word and reading it each and every day, but there's another thing I want to reveal here at the end. The fact that we all have the Spirit if we're born again. In the Old Testament, when they would make bread, it wasn't like making bread today. They just really needed two things. It was usually unleavened bread, bread that didn't rise. They needed two things, oil and flour. Now, the oil represents the Holy Spirit all throughout the Word of God. And so, again, if you belong to Jesus, you've got the oil. What does that make you and me? Bag of flour. If you and I are a bag of flour, here's the thing about a bag of flour. I hate when we have to get the flour out. I don't know why it's such a mess. I'm pretty sure when they make it at the factory that they pack that thing full of flour and then they have a separate, like, thing of flour that they throw the bags in to make sure the outside is nice and coated so you get flour everywhere every time that you touch it. But when we think about the fact that if I'm represented here in this analogy as a bag of flour. On my own, guess what I am? I'm a mess just waiting to happen. Right? I am a mess waiting to happen. Wherever I go, whatever I do, on my own, is going to be a mess. You're going to be able to tell that I was there because it's going to be gross. It's going to be dirty. It's going to be yucky. And for me, I can't really do any good on my own. Just a bag of flour. Just a mess maker. But what would happen when they would take the flour and they would add oil to it? Now, that flour becomes something that can be shaped and formed into something useful. Now, the thing about that, it's still a little bit messy, isn't it? Now it's sticky. It's still messy, but it's being formed. There's a purpose to it. And at the end of the day, when you apply heat to it, and you put it in the oven, it can still come out as fresh bread. Church, this is a picture of our spiritual lives. Right? I'm a mess without God. I'm better with His Spirit, but I'm still even a little bit messy there. But I'm definitely better. I'm definitely improving. I'm being formed into something good. I'm being formed into something useful. And church, in the heat of life, in all the testing and the trying, all the things that we face in our life, we hope that on the other end of that, that something comes out looking like fresh bread. That my life could look something like Jesus. That it could just look something like Jesus. That the Father would look at me and look at you and say, man, that is a pleasing aroma to my nose. That I am pleased with. Church, this right here is why we need to daily go before the Lord and say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank You for Your Word, for the power in it. God, we pray that today, that You would give us a desire for fresh bread that would go beyond a checklist, that would go beyond just acts of obedience, that would go beyond just creating good habits. But God, give us a desire to sit at the feet of our Creator. Give us a desire to seek the face of our Savior. Give us a desire to hear the voice of Almighty God through His living Word. And God, today I pray that this coming year truly would be a monumental year in our lives. Maybe not because anything major happened, but just because we can look back and we can say, I heard God's voice like I've never heard it before. And if that's all I've got, then God, that's all I want, is that we just want to hear Your voice. Give us a heart that is willing. Let us engage our mind as we read the Word, that we can see Your heart in it, that the Holy Spirit would work within us to apply it, to shape us and mold us, even in our messiness, that we could have some kind of shape or form that resembles King Jesus. God, we thank You for Your Word and the ability that the Holy Spirit has to do all these things in our lives. And so we just surrender to You now. And we ask You to have Your way in Jesus' name.